Let's go ahead and pray together before we get started. Father, we recognize you as the creator of the world. You created us. You knit us together. Father, we praise you for who you are. Father, we give you thanks for the love that you give to us, the love that you demonstrated to us in giving your Son to us as an atoning sacrifice. And Father, as we reflect on your love, we are moved to love you. We are moved to love others as Jesus loved others. And today, Father, we give you thanks for Caitlin, who already we've been able to witness come to you through baptism. We're so thankful for her decision. It's our prayer, Father, that as a church family that we will be good examples to her of what it means to live all in for you. Father, as her family wraps their arms around her and as they model to her what it means to live as a Christian, it's our prayer that all of us will take it upon ourselves to show what it means to be a follower of yours. Father, as we open up your word today, as we reflect on your love, it's our prayer that our hearts will be open to your word, that our minds will be open to what you are trying to communicate to us so that we can be better, more equipped, more committed followers of you. Father, we give you thanks for being present here with us as we worship you today. We recognize that as a sign of your just powerful grace. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who demonstrated love so perfectly. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So we're continuing our series called All In. And just as we get started, I'd like for us to do a recap of what we've talked about up to this point. And so we started off looking at the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus was disappointed with that church because they were lukewarm. In fact, he said because they are lukewarm, he's ready to spit them out of his mouth. Frustrated, hurt even by a group of Christians that had no longer demonstrated the kind of commitment to Jesus Christ that they once had. And so we looked at their example, a negative example, and said, let's not settle for being lukewarm Christians. In fact, let's be all in our walk as disciples. Then the second week, we talked about what it looks like to live all in. We said that it means that we live the temple life. And what we meant by that is that as temples of the Holy Spirit, we are unique channels of God's presence in the world. As Christians, through the Holy Spirit, God has chosen to dwell in us. And that profoundly shapes the way in which we live, in the way in which we interact with others, understanding that God has chosen to dwell among us and within us. And then last week we talked about how this all-in life is truly a life that's all about God. It's not about bringing ourselves glory. It's not about living for our own purposes and mission. But in fact, a life that is lived all-in is a life that is really, truly all about God. Whether that's with our families, whether that's at our workplaces, whether that's just in the regular rhythms of our days and weeks, we live lives that are completely set out to bring glory, to bring attention, to bring honor to God. That's what it means to live all in. Today, what we're going to talk about is what I believe to be the most important characteristic of one who is all in. And that is that the community of the all-in, the person who is all-in, is one that demonstrates love in all that is done. So in 2011, during the Super Bowl halftime performance, a group named the Black Eyed Peas played during that halftime. The game was being played between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, and it was taking place in Dallas, in Cowboys Stadium. So there were about 100,000 fans watching that game in the stadium that day. Of course, there were another several million people that were watching that game in the United States and really around the world. During that performance, the Black Eyed Peas played one of their hit songs called "Where Is the Love?" "Where Is the Love?" is really a social commentary on our world today. Throughout that song, they talk about the international conflicts that abound. They talk about broken families. They talk about the hypocrisy that is seen in so many in our world today. And so as they offer this social commentary within this song, over and over again throughout the song, they sing, "Where is the love?" And so 2011, on that cold February evening, with about 100,000 people singing along with the Black Eyed Peas, "Where is the love?" there were another several million people that were watching that day that were also singing, "Where is the love?" And we know the truth of the matter as worshipers of God, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we know the answer to that question, "Where is the love?" That love is found in God, and hopefully that love is found in the followers of God as well. Our text for this morning is going to be 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. You might want to open your Bibles up to that passage. It will also be on the screen. We'll look at several other passages besides 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, but this is kind of going to be our anchor text for this morning. We're going to start here. And it says there, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." In this passage, I think we see four truths about love. If love is going to be the characteristic that defines those who are all in, it's important that we reflect on what love of God, what love of others truly is. I'd like us to start off. The first truth I think we see in this passage here is a very simple and plain truth, but very profound in other ways, and that is that God is love. It says it right there in verse 8, God is love. And for those of you who are familiar with the book of 1 John, over and over again in John's letter, he writes those three words, God is love. And so through repetition, it's as if John is trying to hammer into the point to those first recipients of the letter and to us today that God is love. So what does that mean, though, that God is love? We've heard it before. We've sang it. We've even thought about it. What does that mean that God is love? To think through that question, I'd like us to start in kind of an interesting place. That is Psalm 136. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 136. Now, this psalm would have likely been sung among the Jewish community. So, over and over again, as the Jews met together to worship God, this is what they would have been singing. They would have been working through the Psalms because that was sort of their songbook for their religious tradition. And so this is one of the things that they would have been singing together. It says this, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 8. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever." Now, I like this kind of song because it's easy to remember the words, right? If you know His love endures forever, you're pretty well set with this song. And we know the truth of it. If you know that phrase for life, you're pretty well set understanding that God's love truly does last forever. It's from the beginning of time, or really before the beginning of time. Try to fathom that, and it goes on forever and ever. We can't even fathom in our human minds the depth and really the length of God's love. Notice here how they frame this psalm. They talk about creation. As they reflect on God who creates, they're moved to recognize God's love. We didn't take the rest of the time to read Psalm 136, but as it moves through, it's all about God's protection, God's providence, God's providing for the people. As they reflect on their history, as they reflect on the works of God, they are moved to praise Him for His love. It's through God's actions that they recognize God is the one who loves. Notice what James Mays, an Old Testament scholar, said about Psalm 136. Heaven and earth and day and night are the work of the Lord's steadfast love. All life is lived and supported by the Lord's love. The making of the universe and the salvation of the people of God are together a history of steadfast love. The Lord's hesed, which just means His covenant or His steadfast love, is everlasting and fills all time. I think that's a good description of what we're seeing here in Psalm 136. Again, as the Israelites reflect, as they sing about who God is, His mighty actions throughout history, the natural thing to do is to praise Him for His love. It's in His actions that we see His love. And we see this truth play out in places like John 3:16, a passage that most of us know really well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. How do we know that God is love? For John, in the Gospel of John, he says it's through what He has done, what He's given, namely His Son. We see the same truth in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His love, His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is played out further. God loves us by His actions, or we see His love through His actions. He gave us His Son, and more, His Son gave His life for us. How do we know that God is love? What does that mean? And again, for our minds to get around who God is and what He does, for the biblical writers, it comes down to this. They know He is love by what He has done, namely, given His Son. There's another truth in here besides God is love, and it's similar, but it's just a little bit different, and that is that God is the source of all love. It says there in verse 7, I'll read it again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, that section of Scripture that we often call the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Notice what Paul says here about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 5 is a life that is fully submitted to God. And when one sacrifices themselves, when one puts their life down in the altar before God, they become the perfect place for God to do His work through them. And it happens through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, in this fruit of the Spirit, what he's saying is that as a life is completely given over to Him, it becomes the space in which God works. And notice the first fruit of the Spirit that is mentioned. It is love. In this way, God is the source of love. For some of us, it's difficult to love at times because of difficult relationships, because of difficult situations, because life is just hard at times. But I think as we reflect on the truth that God is the source of love, we have to go here with this. And that is that a lot of times we think if we're having trouble loving because of those things that I mentioned, it's just we need to work harder at loving. We need to just lower our shoulder and just barrel on through. And that way we'll get love. But we must remember that God is the source of love. So maybe it's not we just need to get better at loving, but we need to get better at submitting to God, who is the true source of love. And through submitting to Him, then we will allow our hearts, our very lives, to be the space in which God will work. And that takes us back to this idea of living the temple life, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, bearing the fruit that God calls us to, the kind of fruit that God can only produce in our lives, even love. A few years back, I had the opportunity, along with Sarah, to do something kind of cool. We had the opportunity to tour a nuclear power plant. Now, I was practicing that word, nuclear. We had the opportunity to tour a nuclear power plant. We didn't have to put any suits on or anything like that. But I had a friend who was an operator at this power plant. And so he said, I'll go show you around a little bit. As an operator, he works primarily in the control room. And what he told us about this control room is something that's pretty obvious, but it was important for him to note it to us. He said, this control room is connected to all of the other operations that take place at the power plant. This control room is the hub of what takes place throughout this large facility, whether it's the cooling tower, whether it's the generators and hydraulics, all these big words I didn't understand. It all flows through the control room. And so I think what he was trying to get across is that his job is pretty important as an operator in the control room. I wasn't buying that. I know him too well. I grew up with him. But he was trying to make it sound like he had a pretty important job. But in truth, he did, because of what takes place in that control room. It all hinges on those controls. It all hinges on the operator. And the same is true with God. God is like that control room. If we find ourselves disconnected from God, then we won't be able to operate in the way that God has called us to operate, because He is the source of love. We need to be connected to Him. And so if you do find yourselves having trouble loving your coworkers, your friends, maybe even your family members, maybe it's time for you to connect once again to the source of love, God Almighty. There's a third truth in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 about love. And that is in verses 9 through 10. And this one is so obvious but so important that we get. Verses 9 and 10 again of 1 John 4. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The perfect expression of God's love is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, I just love this passage. And to help us understand the depth of this passage, we have to understand what was taking place at this point. This is just moments before Jesus is arrested and then goes on trial before the Jewish leading council, the high priest even, and then goes before Pilate and ends up on the cross. This is a moment with a lot of gravity. He says this to His disciples. He says, "My command is this. love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Again, Jesus is about to be arrested, about to be crucified. And he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And so Black Eyed Peas, along with millions of others, sang that song, where is the love? And as Jesus is about to be arrested, Jesus, in John's gospel, Jesus says, I'm the man you're looking for. Where is the love? There's the love. Jesus stood before Pilate, and he didn't retaliate. He didn't fight back. He didn't say, why are you arresting me? You have the wrong guy. What have I done wrong? Instead, he stands there face to face and just is honest about who he is. Where is the love? There is the love. Jesus was beaten by those soldiers. He was mocked by those soldiers, bloodied by what the soldiers were doing to him. Where is the love? There is the love. According to John's gospel, Jesus carried his own cross to Golgotha. Where is the love? And Jesus carrying his cross, there is the love. And then those soldiers took those nails and they drove them through his hands and drove them through his feet. There is the love. And Jesus had that interaction with those other prisoners on the cross. And to the one he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Where is the love? There is the love. John in 1 John 4 says that Jesus was the perfect expression of God's love. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so we look at Jesus hanging on the cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. And we wonder, where is the love? And we look at the cross and we say, there is the love. This is the one that we serve. He washed the disciples' feet. There is the love. He is the one that stood there standing with that adulteress who was in great trouble by all of those that were ready to stone her. As all those other folks were ready to stone this woman caught in adultery, it was Jesus who stood there with no stones in his hands. And as all of those people walked away from that situation after Jesus confronted them, it was Jesus who was still there speaking hope and truth to that lady. Where is the love? There is the love. A fourth truth in this passage in 1 John chapter 4. Very simple. And again, this is something that John says over and over again in his letter. He says, love one another. And Jesus said it in John 15 as well. As I've loved you, you love one another. Let us love one another. Thomas Kempis said this, whoever loves much does much. Just as we were talking about with God is love, and the biblical writers, the early Christians, when they thought through God is love, what it came down to was his actions. The fact that God did things. Even before that, with the Jews in Psalm 136, as they were moved to say that God's love endures forever, it's because of what God had done, creating, sustaining, protecting, providing, all of those things. The same way for us, as we reflect on what it means to be all in, as those who are all in love, we know that it's through our actions. It's through what we do. And so for us, as we interact with our spouse and children, if someone were to be a fly on the wall and just watch your interaction, you have to ask the question, would they be moved to ask, where is the love? If someone were interacting with you at work, would they be moved to ask the question, where is the love? If someone were to see you in a situation in a store and you're just so overly frustrated with someone, would someone still be moved to ask the question, where is the love? And of course, the hope is that as we watch you interact with your family members as your children, as we watch children interact with the parents, the hope is that as we see your life, as God sees your life, he'll be able to point and say, there is the love. And the Leander community in Cedar Park and Austin, hopefully they will be able to look at this church and the people that make up this church family as they see us live our lives, as they watch us interact with others, as they hear the words that we're saying, hopefully they will be able to say, there is the love. Is the love in you? When people watch you, when they say, there is the love. Husbands, and your wife, can they point toward you and just say, there is the love? Husbands, pointing to your wives, there is the love. Parents, pointing to the children, there is the love. The Black Eyed Peas asked that question, where is the love? And here's the truth of the matter. As we talk about God's love being seen through his giving and protecting, the truth is, love isn't something that we just feel. Love isn't just the words that we say, but love that is of God manifests itself in action. Love does much. Love has hands and feet. It moves. It breathes. It serves, it cares, it impacts, it hugs, it gives handshakes, it says, I'm sorry, it says, can we talk about this? It says, let's move forward. It says, what can I do for you? It washes feet. It gives. Love gives. Love is in action. So when people look at your life, this is what I want to close with. When people look at your life, and church family, as people look at the life of this church, they move to say, there is the love. If there's anybody here this morning that would like to do what Caitlin did, speaking of love, there is the love. If anybody here today is ready to do what Caitlin did and put their Lord on in baptism, here in a moment, Rob's going to lead us in a song. You can come forward down here and make it known that you are ready to be put your Lord on in baptism. We would be just so glad to witness you do that. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, if you have been missing that love in your life and you need just to be infused with the love of God, we'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing this song together as a church family.